they can come back if they need to, but they love doing that, and they're there, and young people all across the world. And so we're thankful. It's such a unique ministry, and we appreciate so much them doing that. Something special today. Say it again. What is it? I must ask you a question. So if we see a bunch of young people who should not have facial hair with mustaches after the service. And if any teenage boys been having trouble with it, you can hook them up as well, right? Yeah, all right. So we're having a good time in junior church as they get started back to school. All our elementary folks and junior age kids and kindergartners, you head on toward the back there. Miss Andre, you've got some special things today with mustaches. And so thankful. And all our guests, again, if I haven't got a chance to meet you, I look forward to seeing you. If I have, particularly, I've got a little gift for you in the lobby. Maybe as you came in, folks at our greeting table gave you a Connect card, and that's something we use all the time. We love to send you a thank you note, and we can only do that if we get a little bit of information from you. So if you got the Connect card, if you didn't get one, there should be one close to you in the back seat of a chair, and to do that. But all of our other folks, you say, I hadn't seen my name on the birthday list, or I've got this prayer request. That's a quick way to do that. Also, my cell number is splashed all across the place. You can send me a text message, or you can send me an email, and I'll get that, and that'll help me know how to pray for you. I'd love to do that. Or if you have a change address, anything along those lines, man, that really works. That really works well. And so we appreciate that. Again, all our guests. We used to say it all the time. I got kind of rote there. But let's say it just again. We're always glad to have guests at Hardin Valley Church. Amen? Amen. I did that one time. It was like one person said amen. And Andrea said, did you make that announcement the other day? I said, I did. Said, did anybody listen? I said, no. I said, after 30 minutes of talking, man, it's Charlie Brown's mother. Wah, wah, wah. You know, I get up there and say, and I killed 4 people and buried their bodies in the backyard. And everybody goes, amen. And so I try and keep being funny and move around to keep some of you with me. So we use screens, and you got the handouts, and you got the app. You can follow along the notes in just to give me a shot. Amen. How many of you are too old to understand Charlie Brown's mother reference? Anybody? Wah, wah, wah. I don't know a modern-day reference. If you get bored during the service, Google Charlie Brown's mother, and you'll catch why that's funny. All right, so we're in good shape. Open your Bibles, Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2. We are almost done here, and we'll be in Revelation 3. We are on a different church today. We're in church with a hard name to pronounce, Thyatira. And I really want to encourage you, bring your Bibles, of all the places, bring your Bible, and bring your Bible to church. If you're a phone or tablet person, go ahead and put it on Do Not Disturb. Maybe go ahead and put it in airplane mode so you're not tempted to do all kind of things and all like I am when I'm sitting and listening and doing that. And so we want to do this. William Ramsey said, it is the longest letter to the least known church. We just don't know much about Thyatira. And by the end of the second century, they got run over and run out. And there's a little vestige there, but not much archaeological remains, anything like that. So we take the letter on face value. What we do know, we'll present today. But we want to find out what God has said. If you're willing and able, just to pay honor to God and His Word, we'll stand just one more time. We'll read these verses quickly, get right into it. Verse 18, the angel of the church, Thyatira, write these things, saith the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, patience, and works. And the last to be more than the first. You have grown in some of these areas. Verse 20, notwithstanding, and this is fast. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, underline, highlight, circle, if you do that in your Bible, which calls herself a prophetess, teach and seduce my servants, to commit fornication, adultery, sexual sin, to eat things sacrificed to idols. They corrupted and were compromised. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. She was told by God to stop, and she said no. You hear me out. You want to get on God's radar, let him tell you to do something, and you tell him no. Behold, I'll cast her into bed. He that commits adultery with her in great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, I will kill her children to death. I'm talking about spiritual children here. All the churches shall know I am he which searches the reins and hearts, give every one of you according to their works. Verse 24. But unto you I say, and the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not known this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan. Again, the occultic reference here. As they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. I'm not adding to grace. I'm not getting you to deal with more than you have. we know it's, or I know it's tough, the Lord says. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. He that overcomes keeps my works. To him will I give power of the nation. You'll rule with me. Rule with a rod of iron. The vessels of potter be broken to shivers, even as I received my Father. And I will give to him the morning star. It's one thing to reflect the morning star. It's another thing to see Jesus. He said, you endure, you'll see me. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Father God, help us this morning. Help us not compromise, not tolerate what we should not tolerate. Help us to be quick to forgive. And Father, help us to be quick still to pursue doctrinal purity and to encourage folks who say that they belong to you to live right and to do what is right. And those particular who belong to a church, that they understand that they have made themselves accountable, and it is required of us to pursue their health. And so help us this morning. Help us, I pray, in your Son's wonderful and precious name, God's people said, amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. I looked at it. It's hysterical to me. I looked again. I tried to find out last week and this week. I can find no good reference to anybody ever being called a Jezebel. Any language, any translation, any country, and particularly in the West, man, North America, South America, to call someone a Jezebel, a man or woman, much less a woman. I mean, there's no thing. I tried to look how many folks named their children, their daughters, a Jezebel. It's a small percentage. Nobody wants to be called that, and here you go. Again, for all of you who are paying along and watching at home and stuff like that, remember, meek and mild and lowly Jesus, who just gets along and goes along and doesn't have any opinion, is not the resurrected Jesus of the book of Revelation. He says what? He says, you have tolerated that woman, the Jezebel, and I've got somewhat against you. Now, again, if you're thinking, man, I got Jesus over here in a box, Jesus has done exploded the box. If you think, well, you know, we just ever shouldn't say anything, we shouldn't ever call out sin, we should never say this or that. I mentioned you and refer you back to these letters to the church. So I couldn't decide on the title, so I gave you two. So the church that tolerated sin, that works here, or the Jezebel church. And I got news for you. A little bit I know about marketing and branding, a little bit I know about advertising internet, that might get some clicks, but it won't be happy ones, right? This is not how you want to be known. You do not want to be known last week as a compromising church. This week, the church had compromised and went even further than that. Danny Aiken, president of Southeastern Seminary over in Wake Forest, North Carolina, he says concerning this passage, we need to be reminded of three things. He says, first of all, when the church looks like the world, you have a sick church. You have a sick church. When they act like the world, and they look like the world, you have a sick church. We are to be holy people. We are to be people who are been made right with God, whose lives have been changed. There's to be a good part of our story that is used to. I used to live that way. I used to be that way. I used to have no hope. But thank God I have hope now. Thank God that my past does not confine me. The chains have been broken. I am amazed. I'm gobsmacked. I'm overwhelmed sometimes, even in our town, even in our area. How many churches just seem like they're going out of their way to act like, look like the world? Well, that's a sick church. That's a sick church. He said, secondly, when the church acts like the world, you have an impotent church. You have an impotent church. Again, I've said it before. If we start doing some things, you can understand one thing. You understand I'm not something bad, wrong happened with me. I'm thrilled for AC, I'm thrilled for video, I'm thrilled for all the things that we have in here. I like modern conveniences. I'm not talking about that. I am just simply, and there's nothing spiritual about being rustic or uncomfortable. I get all those kind of things. But I'm not to act like the world. One of the pastors, and I use that word in quotes, one of the larger churches in the Midwest, been called out by his people, been called out by people in the town because he continued to use his ugly language and profanity in the pulpit and on his radio broadcast, or on his podcast. On his podcast, he has objected to it. He fought him over it. He finally says, not worth the hassle to me. Said, in private, I'll continue to use the language that I want to use. He said, I'm just keeping it real but the rest of you have a problem with it. Pastor, a church of thousands. Church of thousands. I got news for you. That's an impotent church. That's an impotent church. That's a selfish, self-absorbed guy masquerading as a pastor. Pastor, you can't tell me what to do. I will say what I want to say. I will talk about body parts like I want to. I'll talk about sexual acts like I want to, because I'm keeping it real. No, you're keeping it wrong. Somebody say amen to that. Man, yeah, but church does this, man. You have a powerless church. Every so often, by the way, every so often, that's part of the diagnosis that I do. I don't know why I put this thing on. I got this thing on wrong here. Sorry, I keep grabbing it. I know it bugs some of you. God, are we seeing as many people saved as we need to? Man, I'm thrilled for the baptism last week. The Lord, and again, some of you told me, quite a few of you need to be baptized. You need to make that public profession of faith in Christ. Is that the spirit of the age, or is that the spirit of the age that's gotten here? Is that the spirit of the age gotten in me? The living Christ walks among his church. The living Christ cares about his church. The living Christ has eyes of flaming fire and his feet like burnished brass. Man, I don't want to hurt a church to be powerless. I want it to be obvious that the resurrected Christ is doing what he wants, and his Holy Spirit has free reign in this place. If you're with me, say amen. Number three, Danny Aiken says, when a church plays with the world, you have an unfaithful church. You have an unfaithful church. Church in South Carolina made news. They went and scrubbed everything they could, but so many of the videos survived. They thought it'd be fun for an Easter service. They played AC/DC song Hell's Bells. They started the service off with the 13 chimes signifying the demonic number. Then the guy came out there as an homage to Ozzy, came out there, leather pants, makeup on his face, and he began to sing Hell's Bells. It was their Easter resurrection service. See, that's absolutely positively extreme. You're absolutely positively right. But they didn't start there. They ended there. I want to help the world. I want to serve the world. I want to be a refuge for the world. I want the world to know this is a lighthouse. This is a place of truth and salt and light, a place of hope and help and repair. I do not want to do the other. I absolutely do not want to do the other. You have an unfaithful church, and that's who he calls out here. That's who he calls out here. As is our pattern, we just walk through this. Again, we know so very little about the city. Except we know that they were undergoing tremendous pressure to do the wrong thing. One writer named Hemmer says, the longest, most difficult of all these letters is to the least known, least important, and least remarkable of the cities. They did not guard against a morality problem. For those of you who are about to check out on me, understand, it got so bad, they tolerated sexual immorality, and they tolerated blatant idolatry in the church. This is how bad it got and how fast it got there. And they got warned about it, and they didn't do anything about it. They would not handle it. And God goes to them, and he begins to correct them. Say, what's going on here? What's going on here? Well, the best we can tell is that the whole city, like a lot of places in our country, ran off guilds. Modern-day equivalent in the United States if you got to join a union, thank you. Join a union. It's on one of those pages, but anyway. So if you wanted to work with the brass, you had to be part of the brass guild. If you wanted to work, or bronze, you had to work there. If you wanted to work in the textiles, you wanted agriculture, every guild had a god. Every guild required service. Every guild had the cultic meals that typically encompassed immorality and fornication. They bring in the folks. And the compromise was, if you want to eat, you got to work there, and you got to keep your mouth shut. This is what it is. You got to pay to play. And you pay to play, you got to do this. And some of them kept their mouth shut, and then some of them joined in. And then apparently, whoever this lady is comes in and says, well, I've got a third way. We're going to go the deeper life. We're going to go the Montana route, for those of you who want to look that up. We're going to go this direction here. And she began to intermingle all of those things because she was so much more spiritual. By the way, anytime somebody departs from the Scripture or says they got more truth than the Scripture, you just beware of those folks immediately. Extra biblical is always, always extra wrong. Always extra wrong. And so she's here and she's doing this, and they've got this pressure and all these things are going on, and you've got this little church that's here, and man, you've just got such a mess. Jesus speaks to him. He says, I've got eyes of piercing fire. He says, I've got feet of burnished brass. Typically, we required several medals in order to do this. You have an Ezekiel and a Daniel reference back to it. It is the idea there that there's no impurity and no contaminants. It would be the highest achievement of someone who worked in bronze to be able to get them to shine, particularly having used different metals in order to achieve the tensile strength to wear them as effective boots. He was absolutely gleaming and absolutely piercing in his discernment. We're foolish people sometimes, aren't we? We show up on Sunday like we read our Bible all week. We show up every now and then like, man, like we've been faithful in our giving. We show up like we weren't ugly and we weren't doing things and we didn't look at pornography and we didn't use bad language. We show up and we act like we didn't get drunk out of our minds one day this week. We show up this way like we have fooled God, and he reminds us, I walk in the midst of the church and I see everything and I see right through you. You ever been around somebody who made you feel uncomfortable? How many of you, by the way, that's a doctor? Doctor, anybody in here ever figured out English was a second language if you had to go to court? State your name. Blah, 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 blah. You know, I had a lawyer punch me one time. Punch me. What's your name? He said, your name's Rodney. Rodney. And he had to give me my last name. I was so nervous in front of the judge years and years ago. Thankfully, I had my speed checked. had my speed checked several times before I decided I'd do differently, and never got used to being in front of the judge. He is here and he's doing this, and he looks at them this way. We see the judge, we see the correspondent. If you're following along, filling out your sheet there, his eyes were blazing fire, his feet were as burnished bronze. He says number three there. We get to see the commendation. Good to see the commendation. He gives them three commendations that I hope will be a help to you. He says, first of all, he says, I appreciate your love. I appreciate your faith. It could also be translated faithfulness, and then your service and your perseverance. Now, I want to mention something, because we're going to see, how is this possible? How is it this and this and this? Because I think it's a good question. I think I have a good answer. Again, sometime Monday afternoon into Tuesday morning, What I like to do, I've got a study Bible. I just mark all the pieces. Anybody like that? You got a Bible you use devotionally or study, and it ain't for show. I've actually got two of them. I got one here, one at the house. And I'm in there and I'm doing that. And I got a. I used to have a 25-cent notebook that I upgraded. I got a dollar and a half, and it's thicker and it's got pages that you can tear out. Because when I would rip the other out, it just left snowflakes everywhere and annoyed me, annoyed my wife, and annoyed the children that we made vacuum it. And so I got one now that tears clean. So I'm there, and I'm doing my thing, got my pen. I'm not interested in making them pretty. I'm just sitting there, and I just pause. I write down love, faithfulness, service, perseverance, bear up under. Would Jesus say that about me? Would Jesus say that about you? Would Jesus say that about Hardin Valley Church, 10415 Hardin Valley Road. Would he, if when he wrote the letter that we've never, when we understand the letter that we've never read, because he walks here and he understands here, would he say that about you and I? Because I think this is a mighty fine commendation, don't you? To be loving. Send cards to one another, call one another. Text one another, write one another, hug one another, love one another, pray for one another. It's hard to pray for people, man. You hadn't even taken the time to try and learn their name. We're going to have name bad Sunday, third Sunday in September. Don't hold me to it. It's one of the Sundays we're going to have Name Badge Sunday, and we're going to do that. We're going to have a little fun that day. We'll have a snack afterward. I think we're going to have a Hawaiian shirt Sunday. I just don't know. Something about me wearing a Hawaiian shirt is going to turn into a meme. And I don't like being on the internet for wrong reasons. Anyway, church shirt Sunday, I forget, team shirt Sunday. Wear your team shirt, football season again. And I'm thinking about all these things and all, and I'm going, you know, man, do we need to have Name Badge Sunday every Sunday? And some of you go, man, I'm bad with names. Well, learn 4 or 5 and pray for the 4 or 5. It's hard to say you love people, man, if you never interact with them. First 5 years I was here, I preached this about every 3 weeks, it felt like. Felt like, man, don't be strangers in the door and strangers out the door. That's not a church. That's a club. Not even a very good one. He says, you love. He says, you're faithful. You count on to be dependable. Be dependable. Even besides me, it seemed like every 6 months, folks get less and less dependable. I laugh at some of the job things I see. Must be able to go to the bathroom in a cup. Pass a drug test. Must understand what on time means. Must not argue when asked to do something. I read some of these things and I'm going, is this how bad it is in the job workplace? I ask some of you that are managers, middle managers, it's worse. I said, and you know, these kind of things. And I say that with a smile on my face, not a smirk in my heart, I promise. Be faithful, then serve. These folks were busy. Well, how in the world does this happen? How in the world does this happen? Apparently there's 3 groups in the church. There's the faithful folks. He commends them. Oops, there's faithful folks. I made some changes to my stuff. Sorry about that. There's the faithful people. That's a you there. Then there's Jezebel and her group. Again, Jesus is the one who gives her the nickname. That's not her name. And then there's the folks who just go, okay, well, she can do what she wants to, and they can do what they want to. It's not biblical. It's not right. They've been commanded to repent. Apparently, the pastor faithfully said something to them. Somebody said something to them. And they knew it was the Holy Spirit speaking to them. They knew they were offending God. And they kept on going. And then everybody was just okay with it. Let me help you. I put it in your notes again. Toleration. Call it phobia. You call it whatever. When we start backing down and we start saying what's okay, when the Bible says it's not okay, we are in a mess. We are absolutely in a mess. Somebody's kid, somebody's grandkid, somebody's niece or nephew does something, and all of a sudden, man, people spin on a dime about stuff that they always knew the Bible said was wrong. I don't care if the whole world says it's okay. If God says it's wrong, he is the judge. Everybody say amen to that. Everybody say amen. So you got the 3 groups there. Again, forgive the, I made some changes early this morning. I didn't catch that one. The faithful, there's Jezebel and company. So we got the 3 groups. So how are these going to interact here? How are these going to interact? He says, here's what it is. Go back to verse 20. Read it with me. Verse 20. Notwithstanding a few things, because you have suffered that woman Jezebel, you have permitted, you have tolerated, which calls herself a prophetess, teach, seduce my servants, commit fornication, sexual immorality, and eat things sacrificed to idols. They were not to do that. You say, preacher, you keep saying this. What's that reference that's there? Because I thought I got a friend who says, you know, everything's okay. They're misstating the deal. Nowhere, Corinth, anywhere else, were you to go to the wicked meal, the cultic meal, and to partake in that. Never to do that. What was at issue was the poor, broke, half-starving Corinthians who would go down to a market, and there was real expensive beef, and there was cheap beef. And the thought was that the cheap beef had already made a circuit through one of these cultic temple meals. Could they buy the cheap cut because they knew the discount was from there, or they assumed it? Paul said, if your conscience is okay with that, you didn't participate in the thing, but you got the deal, take the deal. If your conscience bugs you, don't do it. If you buy the cheap cut of meat, you're with a new Christian, and it's going to bug them to death. It's going to hurt their hearts. It's going to grieve them that you're even getting anywhere close to idolatry that God saved them out of. Don't you dare cause them to stumble. People all the time use that to justify all kind of sinful behaviors. Paul never does that. The New Testament does not do that. People have just absolutely trashed that passage. So when he's here and he's saying this, he's saying, I got work to eat. God understands. Yeah, God understands. He told you not to do it. You went and did it anyway. You got to pay to play. You got to know how the game works. Got to go drink with the boys if we're going to get ahead. Got to go out with the girls after work. Whatever it is, got to do these things. You know are wrong. He says, you do not do that. You do not do that. And you have compromised. And you should have told that woman to hit the pavement. And you didn't do it. And now she's got her followers. And I will wipe them out. I got news for you. Every time I read that, I just shudder. God says, I will wipe them out. I will wipe her out. I get caught up in it every now and then. Well, God doesn't care because he didn't turn me into a greasy spot immediately. I did something I shouldn't have done, and I'm still breathing. Because we think it's like grabbing an electric wire. I'm glad for the grace of God, but I'm thrilled for the mercy of God. Amen. Gives me space to repent. Gives me space to repent. I gave her space to repent. You did not handle it. What's she doing there? Always understand, wrong doctrine always leads to wrong behavior. Wrong doctrine always leads to wrong behavior. And immorality always comes with that. And you begin to worship anything other than God, all of a sudden you decide, I'm going to do what I want to do, and what I want to do is anything I want to do. See, is every person who's lost go as bad as they ever could be? Absolutely not. There's still the restraining influence of the Scripture and the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit. There's always two things active in the world. But when you start to say no to God and yes to you, you'll be surprised how far you go. Adrian, R.G. Lee said years ago, speaking to Samson, remember from Samson's life, sin will always take you farther than you want to go. It'll always cost you more than you want to pay, and it'll always keep you longer than you want to stay. When you're done with sin, it's not done with you. He said these two things that are there. Doesn't matter what I worship. Remember I said last week, worship typically comfort, comfort, commodity, construction. Of course, the last one usually is us. But those things always are there. There's condemnation that's there. The command, hold fast, just quickly. I'm almost done. Look right at me. Cling to the truth despite the difficulty. Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast. The mark of true Christianity is steadfast obedience. Hold fast. Say, it's hard. It was hard for them. We've watched all these churches, fourth church now, watch all these churches, and it's going to get worse, man. It is tricky. It is tricky. Keep your mouth shut. Play along. Don't say anything. If everybody else is doing it, it's okay. And you understand. He says, I will take care of her, and I will wipe out her spiritual progeny too. You be careful. You hold to it. If everybody says everybody's going to heaven, that's not Bible. It's just not. Bible says everybody's going to hell unless God intervenes. Broad is the way. Say, man, that makes everybody say. So, Mike was here. I think Brother Wells. I'm trying to think back. Joe was here. I'm trying to think. Rusty. I'm trying to think. Roy. I'm trying to think. Like eight and a half years ago, when we first came, I said something in the service that was a throwaway line. I said something, it wasn't a sermon. I said, God made Adam for Eve and not for Steve. Ha, ha, ha. I kept on going. We lost two families and four teenagers. Because I said, men shouldn't be with men. And it wasn't a very good joke, but it was just me being silly. Silly. Two families and four teenagers. Now, I know my predecessor. I know exactly where he stood. He might not have said something goofy like that, but he said the same thing I did. It wasn't news to them. It was just easy for them. Just easy for them. You can take a stand on the most basic things in the Ten Commandments and be completely out of sort and be told you got to do what everybody else is doing. The Bible says, no, you do not. You need to be faithful to me. You need to be steadfast to me. You need to deal with the folks there. He gives them a challenge that's beautiful there. Gives them some counsel that's there. He says, participate. Be steadfast in your obedience. He said, you'll join me one day. I was 17, maybe 18. I was high school, so 17. 17, somebody brought in a new potted plant with a plastic flower in it and set it on the dessert table at a church social. Loie, I wasn't eating anything in a potted plant. I didn't know what it was. And I saw people going up to it all really excited and got a big scoop of it put on their plate. And I thought, these people are out of their ever-loving mind. That Miracle Grow stuff belongs somewhere else. It doesn't belong there. I'd never seen it, never understood it. Somebody said, did you get any of the dirt cake? I went, no, I got brains. What do you mean I didn't get any of the dirt cake? Dirt cake. And they said, no, it's Oreos and it's cream. It was cheese and stuff. I said, what? I said, the thing over there in the potted plant. I went over there, man. It was almost gone, Mark, almost gone, man. I stuck my hand in there. If it hadn't been people around, I stuck my face in there once I figured out what it was. I got some of it out. I put it on my plate, man. Ate it, and I'm going, man, I could have had this first thing. I was there when the lady brought it. Man, I didn't know what it was. Next church social I was at. Somebody came in, anything closely resembled to it, man. I got up from my seat. I walked over there. I was the first one in line. I didn't bother with a small spoon. I got one of those big ones, one of those paddles. Got one of those, slapped it on the plate, went, sat back down, dared anybody to look at me for how much I'd gotten on my plate. And because I missed it the first time, but I wasn't missing it the second time. Just do this. That's not what he says. You do this because you get to rule with me one day. You're bullied and picked on and oppressed and persecuted. You may be out of a job. It may affect your family. But there is a day coming. You will rule and reign with me. And he's not done. Don't miss it. Why should I care? Why should I stand for what's right? Why should we practice church discipline? Why should we do what we should? Why should we confront those who are in error? Why should we say the Bible is the rule of faith for doctrine and practice, and we can do no other like Martin Luther? He says, verse 27, he shall rule them with a rod of iron, the vessels of potter be broken to shivers. Just like pottery smashes, you hit it with a hard stick, with an iron rod, rather. Even as I received my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He said it. I told you. White is certainly a color. More often than not, your English Bible will say white, and it is the idea in Revelation of reflected glory. You're wearing garments that are fashioned such to reflect the very glory of the risen Savior. You are in that sense, as you are with the Lord, little jewels, diamonds, reflecting his glory brilliantly. It is one thing to reflect his glory. It is quite another to see the glorious one. You cling tight to what is right. Do not tolerate what is wicked. Give space to repent. Invite to repent. Love people to repent. Encourage people to repent. They don't get a free pass. They're involved in immorality. You confront them. They don't get to be in church. They don't, all these kind of things. You understand. You win. You win. And the little prize is you get to rule and reign with me in the new heaven, the new earth realm. The big prize, you get me. You get the morning star. Why should I do what's right? Why should I keep my word? Why should I not laugh at the dirty jokes? Why should I not participate? Why should? Don't be like the church at Thyatira. Don't compromise because of the culture. You do what's right. Because Jesus says, I'm the prize. I'm the prize. Would you pray with me right now? Our heads are bowed just for a moment. We're to remain faithful. We're to hear what the Spirit says to the church. We're not to tolerate sin. We're certainly not to practice it. Unrepented sin always is judged by the Lord. You're better off coming and repenting today than keep going and dealing with him.